On the line now, I have our friend Padraig Conlon from the Northside People. Good afternoon, Padraig.
Good afternoon, John. How are you?
I'm good. And all's well. We're getting there slowly but surely by the looks of things.
Yeah, fingers crossed now. Yeah, it seems to be going that way.
Yeah. I'm just after talking to Keane O'Callaghan, the Social Democrats TD, about the estate agents demanding bank statements. That's a weird one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a sinister development, all right. Yeah, we were following that story as well. Very prominent estate agent in the country, one of the leading ones. Looking for stuff like if you ever have any gifts of money from family and stuff like that. It seems to be they're lying to themselves, a lot of these estate agents. I know they're not all bad, but mind boggles, isn't it? Like, you know.
Yeah, no, it is. It's crazy. What else jumps out at you from this week's?
A lot of housing stuff again. I suppose the big one this week was on Monday night. Dublin City Council voted to rezone a site in Finglas. Now, at the moment, the site is between McKee Avenue and Jamestown Road. It's at the moment, it's kind of like semi-waste ground, whatever, with some unused warehouses in it. There are four businesses that are based around there. They want to build up to 2,200 homes on this brownfield site. Now, it's only got to... Council voted just to rezone it. So, obviously, to change, you know, its use from, you know... commercial to mixed use, so it's just the first step. We don't know yet whether what it's going to be. Some people are saying it could be blocks of apartments. Within the local community, a lot of people are a little bit concerned because there's been a few issues as regards schools and a medical centre that was supposed to be delivered, but it's based on population from about a decade ago. So in the council there's quite a lot of support for this. Obviously it's houses, but there has been a little bit of resistance within the local community from some of the people we spoke with. But it's only early doors yet as regards that story. So we don't know yet what exactly the supposedly what these four businesses, they say that it'll feature a mixture of housing and business premises and, you know, commercial as well. So the first step in that. Then there's another housing story. Council last week refused permission for, I don't know if you know, Santry Place, between Santry Avenue and Swords. The developers there want to also knock down a warehouse and build a buildings ranging, I think, in height from 7 to 10 stories. And this was rejected. Council said it was, you know, they put an overbearing extension.
Yeah.
And apparently this was well welcomed in the local community. And Keane's party colleague, Roisin Shortall, made a statement on it as well, saying, well done to the local community. So it seems to be like, you know, on one hand it's kind of bittersweet, all these we want housing, and then, you know, when the housing is trying to be delivered, it's not being delivered properly, you know, in line with local communities, and I suppose the balance has to be met. And I can see the case being made by residents in these communities if there are already a shortage of schools and medical centres, etc. Obviously, they're well within their rights to be concerned about, you know. But on the other side, we need housing built as soon as possible. So
yeah,
it's a bit of a paradox there.
I only said it just there to Keane O'Callaghan. I said there always seems to be something, you know, as regards building houses. There's always a problem, you know. it's madness.
It is, especially considering the crisis we have at the moment.
Yeah. Now I'm looking at one here. Dublin Senator calls for a renter strategy.
Yeah, so that was Rebecca Moynihan. It was in line with, I'd say it was a lot of what Keane O'Callaghan would have been discussing as well. So she was commenting on the release of figures by the RTB, the Residential Tenancies Board, who said that more than, I think it was 1,100 eviction notices were issued in the last 10 months. And this is despite there being a government ban on evictions. So, you know, which is quite alarming. Another figure I heard today, they reckon it could be up to about 4,000 eviction notices out there at the moment. So she was making the point that, like a whole new strategy has to be implemented here as regards protecting renters, because I don't know, from my own dealing with, you know, stories down the years with landlords who say that they break, you know, when if it's, you know, a ban on this or a ban on that. The penalties for them are not severe enough, so they don't. I'm not exactly sure what the penalty is for them for breaking the moratorium on evictions, but it doesn't seem to be a deterrent. You know, I don't know. Obviously, maybe more stringent policing of the whole industry needs to be done. But so she's come up with some very good points.
it's. I'm just looking here. She said that 73% of people were evicted from their homes during the pandemic through no fault of their own. I mean, it's inhuman.
Yeah, it is. It is, John. It's we hear it every week. Like, we have people ring in, you know, with the stories, and some of it. So some people I spoke to over the past year, they've never been in arrears, and then just comes down to pure hard cash at the end of the day, or the landlords, it's just money, and that's all that matters. To be honest with you, I think it's going to get worse from what I've seen. And I don't like to be negative or anything, but there's some big problems coming down the line in the next 6 months. From some people I spoke to who were involved in that whole area.
Yeah, and then she also said that the government's latest bill to supposedly protect renters won't stop the 8% rent rises that a loophole in the law will allow. I don't know about you, Patrick. I get annoyed talking to people about the housing situation.
Get absolutely makes me boil as well. It's something that, you know, I don't understand how it's so difficult for them to get a hand on this and get a grip on this and get it. Like, you know, they're supposed to be working for us, these elected representatives. They're supposed to be in our best interest, that's what we like them not to.
And we pay them very well as well, Padre.
Yes, we do. See, the councillors are getting a pay rise now as well.
Yeah. Oh, God. I've done. anything else there now, or something?
I suppose the general, we had, you know, kind of reports, you know, of places opening up again, stuff like that, you know, all very positive. More of that, some stuff about local students as well. There's an exhibition in, well, I suppose it's more town, but, you know, the Epic, you know, the museum. They have a landmark exhibition celebrating the Irish LGBTQ plus diaspora. It's an area I wouldn't have known too much about now, about a kind of pioneering Irish people from, you know, back when, you know, things were a lot different. Seems like a very interesting exhibition. You know, it's all to tie in with Pride Month as well. So, the listeners could be interested in that as well. And we're trying to at the moment obviously try and look on the bright side of everything. Apparently the council are looking at opening up Morton Stadium for concerts during the summer. This is according to a question from one of the councillors at the latest meeting. And it'd be a good old venue for gigs. I don't know how many people now that they could allow in, but it'd be a nice development. Then I don't know if you saw as well, it'll be more, I suppose, North Inner City, the announcement of a new state-of-the-art flight simulator called This Is Ireland. Did you hear about it?
No, no. The flight simulator.
So the last week, Fáilte Ireland announced four big, massive new projects for different parts of the country to try and, you know, the tourism industry. Now, one of the ones that was selected was Northern City. And this thing, as it's called, This Is Ireland, it's going to cost $18 million to develop. Now, according to Fáilte Ireland, in the first 5 years of its operation, it's going to generate, or will generate, $48 million in direct tourism and then support over 1,000 jobs in the area. Now, what exactly it is it's an immersive experience where people come in and you get into it, it's like a flight simulator, and it comes up, you know, and think, This Is Ireland. So then you're brought through like the whole history of Ireland in a, quote, breathtaking and engaging way. So apparently there are similar, these type of flight simulator Yoakumy Bobs in other European countries, and they're supposedly a huge tourist attraction. So a bit of positive news there. Some funny comments on the Facebook when we shared the story. People were like, "Oh yeah, so they're only getting this because we won't be able to leave the country ever again."
You can pretend you're going on your holidays to Spain.
You can pretend you're flying over the Bog of Allen or whatever. Like, that's that kind of. So it brings you. Supposedly, it brings you all through time and history and all this on this, but kind of like, I don't know, some of those, your rides you see and. Some of these kind of more fancy theme parks.
That sounds great. So hopefully they won't have to set up a commission or something before they start doing it.
Well, that's it. It says now it's only going to cost $18 million, but I suppose, but we talk about it next year, $100 million or something like.
Yeah, no, well, hopefully, look, it's a bit of good news, and you know, a thousand jobs in itself is good news.
Well, yeah, exactly, and I think $50 million to the local economy as well over 5 years now. But like, hopefully, they're being very optimistic because we don't know. I suppose hopefully this COVID thing it wanes, like, and we're not dealing with this for the next 5 years.
Yeah,
but hopefully not. Now, did you get out yet for a pint?
No, I didn't, not yet, but I plan to very, very soon. It's a fantastic work that the people are doing, the pubs are doing, like they're outdoor catering, and you know, seeing
absolutely
a lot of the local pubs have done a great job, you know.
Ah, big time. It's it's been a long time for them, like, and hopefully they do well now this summer, and with the weather, they've got quite a lot of, you know, this pedestrianisation thing as well throughout the whole city, like a few places in the north side as well. I think that seems to be going down really well. The one in Malahide, like, I haven't been through it yet in person, but it looks, you know, the main street there's no more cars on it, everyone's sitting out, excuse me, on the street. It seems to be going down very well all over Dublin.
Hopefully it'll continue to go down well, because anyway, the People's Letters page, is that still going strong?
It is indeed. So we're hoping to go up to two pages. We're still on reduced pagination, but we're planning, last week one of the papers had to go up four pages, like, so we're finally nearly back to normal, like, which is great. Sending in their letters and say thanks very much to all. Try, if we can't get them in one, we'll, you know, get them in the next, obviously. So, letters coming in.
Okay. Anything you'd like to add now before we go?
That's all. It's on there now. For this week, all grand. Keep picking up the paper and feel free to contact us with any stories or any fundraisers or anything at all. We're always delighted to hear from people.
And what's the idiom? Is it news or info?
Just news at DublinPeople.com.
Great stuff. Listen, Patrick, thanks for taking the call, and
No problem, John.
Hopefully in the near future things will look up and we can have you in studio here.
Yeah, sound. I'd love that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. As we said, we're doing live from a beer garden. That was the plan. That was the last time we were sending this.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get funding from Niarna Film and the Northside people.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. To sponsor us on a.
Yeah.
Exactly. I like the sound of that.
A bit of research.
Exactly. And supporting the local community as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Local businesses.
All right, man.
Okay, listen, Patrick, thanks very much for taking the call. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me. All the best. Bye now.